Blog Talk Radio.
I hope you got yourself a gun. I hope you got yourself a gun. I hope you got yourself a gun. Fully loaded and ready to lock and load on the enemy. Payback is now, cracker. Fucking you will be written in reality history. Fuck the pigs and boots. You call us savages, but the definition fits you. I scream no more pigs in the community every day. Killing my people with guns and tasers will end today. It's time for me to lock and load, so I hope you got yourself a gun. If not, cracker, you better run, cause I'm busting on every devil in sight. Fuck that bullshit about two wrongs don't make it right. 50 shot ring the bell real loud, but he was unarmed. Y'all devils are real foul. All I need is one shot to the head, snake in power. The baby pig will disintegrate within the final hour. Call me crazy, I don't give a fuck. Killing is your nature, I'm just defending my people so buck. The black woman is standing up. I done sat and watched you kill my babies, make black men less than men, turn my people against each other, lock us up unjustly in cages. It was you who killed Malcolm X. It was you who started the war in Rwanda. It was you who made AIDS. It was you who tricked us on getting on the ship called Jesus. It was you who murdered millions of Africans in the Middle Passage and Katrina. It was you who cut African babies out of black women's bellies and crushed them. It was you who killed Lumumba. It was you who killed the MOVE members. It was you who started the East Coast, West Coast War. And your story of murdering, killing, and conspiring to divide a people continue to this day. Black people have been praying to Allah for years to kill the devil off the face of the earth. Yes, we think it daily, but the devil man has embedded this disease called fear in us, and most of us are scared to speak. That's why I commend Dr. Cavone for coming up with the one solution to exterminate a people that has caused mischief and bloodshed throughout this world. History has shown that you cause misery. I hope you got yourself a gun. I hope you got yourself a gun. I hope you got yourself a gun. If you don't, you better get one. Revolution is bloody, the tables are turned, cracker. This rebellious slave have went against her master. I learned this game from you. You've been teaching it since the beginning of your time. Like Malcolm say, I have the right to defend mine. The black woman is standing up. No nation can rise higher than me. Once I rid you off this earth, black people, yes, my people, will be free. Will be free. Will be free.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
Fuck out.
What's hood?
I think it's scary when black folks think they're American. I really can't explain it. The devil must have preparing them. I am the child of God, son of Amun Ra. The pyramids and Kemet are aligned with the stars. By calling me an American, you call me a slave, and I continue to play the role. That's just a part of the game. But I know who am I, and I know who are you. We are two black victims of the red, white, and blue, nigga. That's what they call you. Matter of fact, that's what we call each other. You rather use that N-word over calling me brother. Sam is your uncle, only cousin. Brother raped your mother. I think they made it very clear they want to take us under. This is ridiculous, the Tuskegee experiment. I hope that y'all are listening. They gave black people syphilis. How the fuck are you a citizen? Pledging allegiance to the land of the murderers and home of the demons. From New York to Hollywood, it's possession of stolen goods. They murdered all the natives. I hope this is understood. They kidnapped your ancestors, murdered your grandparents, exploited all your people, man. They pillaged the whole planet. You align with them, you align with death. And I'ma call you a traitor, so just mind your steps, coward. The 4th of July is a goddamn lie. I pray God will open the sky and call these devils to fry. Fuck.
I'm here to give explanation to what's happening and prevent further desecration of the African. Concentrating on the facts is when my pen was given oxygen for me to breathe into the lungs of men, women, and children, and tell them to stop the killing of your own. Cause now we revealing the villain. It's the removal of American brain lock that keep us in the business of increasing our grave plots. If not, mentally we'll rot. You think not? That's why all these years after slavery, we still in the same spot. You don't think it's different cause you don't see a chain in a lock.
Well,
but check the lock of change in your pocket and no escape from the block.
Uh-huh.
See, when you try to be European, they tell you something to believe in.
Okay.
When you too black, too strong, you too wrong in a demon.
Black,
but he creates the diseases of destruction for no reason. If you American, why do their diseases dominate black regions?
Yes.
What's the point due to slavery? My people are already weakened.
Uh-huh.
So there's no way I'ma sit here, turn the other cheek like a deacon. When I'm not the origin of why my people should be beefing, meeting and organizing on how we wise and we rising. African is legend, American is embedded. Black with no culture, you can't gain independence. No sugarcoated message, I only know truth through expression. All false truths we know, with no truth for progression.
None.
How dare they teach us about their Great Depression?
How dare you?
That time was no different than our great oppression.
No different.
It hasn't since ended, it's worse now. You befriended.
Yep.
If you are American, the Constitution wouldn't need no amendments.
That's right.
We need African acceptance,
uh-huh.
Cause we are the true descendants,
uh-huh.
Of the victims of crimes committed to achieve American acceptance.
Shit.
United Front, yo. Yo, we preached it here today. It ain't Sunday, it ain't no church, but shit. My
the good
Lord is in the building when you drop that. That cracker don't want to hear that. You
shit.
Understand that? Some of my own people don't want to hear that. But you need to hear that.
I know
you need to hear that.
I
don't care what you want. I'm going to give you what you need because I love you. Black people, black power. My Yasa, we out.
My Yasa,
we out.
Whatever your philosophy and ideology is of your organization, stay right with your organization. Just accept black nationalism as your major goal and objective. He said, if you're in the church, stay right in the church and organize in the church. You don't have to leave the church. We want to build an African United Front. We want revolutionary Christians. We want revolutionary Muslims. We want revolutionary black Hebrews. We want revolutionary Yoruba. We want revolutionary black men and women who believe in the principles of Maya and study ancient Kemet. We want revolutionary atheists. We want revolutionary agnostics. We want revolutionary socialists. We want revolutionaries no matter what school or movement or organization you come from. We must build an African United Front. And we must accept revolution. We must accept liberation. We must accept freedom and independence as our primary goals and objectives. And in building such an African United Front, there are rules that we must adhere to. We can't backbite each other. We can't talk against each other. We have to control this. In building an African United Front, you got to control your tongue. You can't be quick to fly off the handle and say something with loose lips about your brother, about your sister, who is a part of that African United Front that you're building. You got to be careful and guard your words, guard your mouth, and make sure that you don't backbite, I repeat, your brothers and your sisters.
Thank you, brothers and sisters. Y'all ready for this? It's race war, the final solution. This ain't what's the problem. This ain't what's been going on for the last 6,000 years. This ain't can we find some justice. This ain't how we can come to the middle and make some kind of agreement
yeah.
on something.
United Front.
It's race war.
Let's go. Both hands shackled. Thinking to myself, the striker slow down and dirty. The pig try to snuff me. But he ain't on my repertoire. The guard never rushed me. Kicked him right in his face and made him uncuff me. Believe that.
Trust me.
As sure as an Arab armpit is musty, my bars is disgusting. Stay at the gym cause the club is lame. I'm training to beat crackers like Hubba Lang. My gun to bang. Mental slave, better tuck your chain. Cause the truth in the service scaffold, they cut the same. United Front is the fam and the Sapo is the clan. I'm the guard and I hit hard as 100 hands. Tell the cracker where you stand. And if the gun is jammed, I'ma have to pull the blade and stab him hard as I can. But money's on the roll like preparing to split. But I'm all about building like Hammer Biff. I'll be standing on my square with the fist. While you got a limp wrist, standing there like a bitch. Please pardon my French. When we hug these mics, we get busy. I'm Bomani the guard, that's G-O-G. Yo, how I smash a cracker so simple. With a bat, sword, and my pistol. Leave dead bodies, bodies, dead bodies. Ain't no forgiveness.
forgiveness, no sorry. That's word, race war, you heard, understand what I'm saying? This one's for Garvey Yikes who put some bodies on it. This one's for NOI who put some bodies on it. This is for the Black Panthers with some bodies on it, blasting like John Jackson with the shotty on them. Resurrection, the Mark Essex, the ARS, the preference for the 357 Smith and Wesson putting pressure. This is for my ancestors. I break middle fingers, save your hand gestures. You gon' need protection. I'm 360 and your cipher's incomplete. And all out race wars is fighting in the street. I'm beating on crackers like Tyson in the street. Put a bullet in your dome, I'm a sniper with the heat. A dude in a skirt, Roddy Piper in the street. Talking about black power in the cipher with my feet. I drop hard bars, what you dropping there is weak. Spitting lightning when I'm writing, it's like a Viking in the sleep. Up you mighty race, you can't accomplish what you will. It's a blessing from God when the cracker gets killed. It's freedom or die for our freedom, black man, we gon' ride. You want it so bad, we might cry.
For every blow depends on breath control. So it's the first thing you must learn. Fortunately, it's easy. You'll soon learn.
I care not what your opinion is. I don't want to hear your opinion. You either choose to walk this war and declare that you're with me in your own way, or I don't want to hear nothing you got to say. Because we done tried your way for 6,000 years. Nice, warm, committed African people. And it has not worked. So now, we're going to try my way.
Black power, rap cowards, one button the other side. The pain I feel is hurting my heart, like if my mama died. Grabbing the llama, I might kill Obama now. But if I see George Bush, it'll be a homicide. Pardon my Swahili, I'm just speaking my mind. No time for being humble, I'm a beat with the rhymes. I give signs to the deaf, and I speak to the blind. With my people, I stay peaceful, cause I keep it divine. Get out of line, then you have to come and speak to the nine. Keep my cool when I have to bring the heat to a time. Break bones in the Sambo, whenever I land blows. Give a fuck, we driving a Buick or in a Lambo. I could take a track and just drop it on some politics. Or talk about my people's history and our accomplishments. Or talk about a brother who I'm about to go to violence quick. But that'll make them happy as a faggot in the politics. Sisters, listen up, he don't respect you if he call you bitch. Then he hit the skins, hit the road and never calls again. There you go, with the flow we going off again. Crackers in they boardroom sweating, hoping I lost my pen. I still got it, I'ma terrorize the industry, cause I ain't confused about them Jews. Boom, clear it out, there's a bomb in the room. Tell the crackers in the kite they got a problem with tune. Cause I'ma fight white power till I'm gone in the tomb. We can rally, but please bring your revolver with you. Cause white death by the black hand is long overdue. Sometimes I be feeling like I've been lost in the zoo. My guerrillas are killers, they pack knives and they blast text. The chrome magnum barrel long as a giraffe neck. You killed the Arawak, the Incas and the Aztecs. Your bloodbath is next, so don't you take this as an aspect. Cut your my toaster while I'm watching Sankofa. I bought a Land Rover just to run a cracker over this wall. The weak will fall and the strong will endure. Be a black atomic bomb, shake the world at its core. While these faggots brag about they plot them Jews and they tours, I mean this whole world is yours. Why you choose to be whores? Apple Prada, Apple Fendi, Apple Christian Dior. Your lips pierces the skinny jeans. Is pissing me off. Got some rapping homosexuals tucking back your testicles. Black women thinking less of you, so they don't stand next to you. Got my people mad enough to spray a tech at you. I even know a couple sisters down to break a neck or two. I pack the gap, bring the industry back. I got everything you lack. Black integrity's back. Black. I'm in the octagon, killer cracker, glockathon. Nobody's getting fed. I'm dropping babies like the Octomom.
Why kill the babies? They're just little innocent blue-eyed babies. Because goddammit, they're gonna grow up one day to rule your babies. Kill them now.
The former slave take you back to the cave and beat all your
give you no respect till you pay off your debt. The only way to pay your back is leaking blood out your neck. I know I'm scaring white folks, be the shell or be the yolk. Either way, you getting cracked or even beaten to a pulp. I've been training my jujitsu, stop your breathing with a yoke. And I'm begging you to test me if you're taking me for jokes. Ain't gonna be no laughing when your guns start blasting. French fried crackers, potato, or straight mashing. That means either blast them or stomp them to a firepower similar to ashes. Crack it in the basket. Got a knuckle game, something similar to cashes. I'ma change my name to Mr. Kicker, crack your ass quick. My quick hands, it's harder than bricks, fam. Stepping in this man's like stepping in quicksand. I'm all the trouble you can handle, rhyme hot enough to brand you. Don't waste it with your life, get all the money you can gamble. See, this is just a sample of the beating I can hand you. I'm telling Uncle Sam too, don't make me choke slam you. Thinking that I'm ignorant, you need to pipe down like emphasis. Just remember my lyricism's particular. I'm the best that ever did it, and I continue to do it. This is African insurrection music, the movement, move it.
Let's talk about resolution. No more trying to work nothing out. We accept your declaration of war against our race, against our babies, against our women, our children, men and families. And we have a resolution. We're dedicating this discussion to our Haitian brothers and sisters who showed us what works with crackers. The talking don't work. So in the spirit of our Haitian ancestors, who brought white tyranny to a divine and righteous end by way of their bleeding sword, we boldly swear to the Creator and our ancestors to wage endless and relentless warfare against the white race until we bring their presence on this earth to a screeching, definitive, and absolute end. This is our final resolution to the ongoing problem of white racial aggression on planet Earth.
Excuse me.
Try to be
let me die a thousand deaths and be tormented by the flames. Say the deadly so we never lose the way. I say, grounded in principle, guided in ideology, is party policy. But one of the contestants so properly respect and honesty, treat the community responsibly, propagate the capitalism while being poverty, discipline and diplomacy, go to war to obtain peace. International guerrillas focus on the same thing. Ain't nothing new, people fighting God for freedom by any means. We need the people's army if we really want to change things. Lead to example, be the change you want to see. I just keep it G, never corrupt with mental police. My energy is focused and set it so can't control me. And allow individuals based off of they approach me. To each his own path, we all believe what we believe. Lots of people got positions, no more freedom really mean. Niggas speak on liberation, but they got no blood to bleed. But every day I see my death as a possibility. I solemnly swear to keep it G at all times. Never fail to keep the message in my rhymes. So I'm obligated to hold it down for niggas that came before me. Never fail to have accountability. I mean, if I should forget the mission, leave the people astray. Still a needle or a thread to try to re-stimulate. To let me die a thousand deaths and be tormented by the flames. Say the deadly so we never lose the way. I say,
when your time comes to die for black and oppressed people, be not like those whose hearts are filled with death. Sing your song and die like a hero going home. I am a black rider.
I am a black rider.
I am a soldier and member of a team.
I am a soldier and member of a team.
I am a servant of the people.
I am a servant of the people.
And live with revolutionary values.
And live with revolutionary values.
I will always place the mission first.
I will always place the mission first.
I will never accept defeat.
I will never accept defeat.
I will never quit.
I will never quit.
I am disciplined physically.
I am disciplined physically.
Mentally tough.
Mentally tough.
Trained to proficient.
Trained to proficient.
In the way of the warrior.
In the way of the warrior.
I always maintain my arms.
I always maintain my arms.
Equipment and self.
Equipment and self.
I stand ready to deploy.
I stand ready to deploy.
Engage and destroy.
Engage and destroy.
The enemies of the party and the people.
The enemies of the party and the people.
I am a black freedom fighter.
I am a black freedom fighter.
I am a black rider.
I am a black rider.
Power.
Power.
Peace, 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 and Black Power family. Welcome to another episode of Black Survival 2017 and Beyond, broadcasting live every Wednesday, 4:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The show was founded by the host and founder of the National Minister of Defense of the Black Riders Liberation Party, my brother, my comrade, warrior, Minister King Samir Shabazz. Their phone number to call in is 515-605-9360. Again, 515-605-9360. Press 1 with your questions or your comments. It becomes my honor and privilege at this time to introduce to some, present to others, our five-star general of the Black Riders Liberation Party, the man and myth, the legend himself, General Taco Wolverine Shakur, Black Power.
Black power, black power, all power to the people. Can you hear me out there?
Black power, sir. Hear you loud and clear.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Black power, all power to the people. Much respect goes out to you once again, Knowledge Born, for giving us this platform to help educate oppressed black people. Much respect goes to all the comrades who are on the line. Much respect goes out to our MOD, our Minister of Defense, King Samir, who is being held captive as a political prisoner for banging on this foul racist system. And we must free him by any means necessary. Black power. General Taco calling out the red zone in L.A., representing the Black Rider, the new generation. Black Panther Party for self-defense. Today we want to speak on what's going on out there in St. Louis, where the brute beast police gunned down a 15-year-old boy back in 2011 and planted a gun on him. The Pease was charged and sent to the criminal justice system. And it was found out that the gun didn't even have Anthony Smith's fingerprint. And to add insult to injury, to add disrespect, the judge who let the pig off, they were related. So this is how the brute beast police get am. This is how the occupying army that's sent in from the racist U.S. government do our people. This is why we must stand up and rise, be strong, and push armed self-defense and armed struggle. We can't expect the pigs to investigate the pig, like Malcolm X taught us. That's like asking racist cowboy Jesse James to investigate his brother Frank James. That's like asking the wolf to investigate the fox when both of them are part of the same canine family, the same racist family. This is why we must push the Watch Your Pig program. This is why we push death to white supremacy, death to capitalism, death to imperialism, and death to fascism. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, a head for a head, and a life for a life. That's what we pushing every day, all day, even on the Sunday. We pushing for the total liberation and the salvation of the black nation. What that black rider's like though. All day, every day. Can't stop, won't stop. I'm going to be brief today so the comrades can get on the line and speak. Much respect goes out to all the listeners. Black power, all power to the people.
That's Jim Tacos. You can go to area code 657-250, 657-250. Area code 657-250.
Black power, can you hear me out there? Black power.
Black power.
Yes, sir, black power. This is Staff Sergeant E. James, the Black Lives Liberation Party, New Generation Black Panther Party, self-defense. Shout out to all my comrades on the ground right now. Shout out to all the listeners right now. You know, giving us mass support. I stay in tune to what's going on across the country. By supporting our efforts on Facebook, Instagram, and also by staying in tune to, you know, what's happening across the country, what we need to be doing, educating ourselves, around the purposes around the need for education and consciousness to be raised. Last week was Wednesday, September 13th. I was going to touch on Tupac Amaru Shakur, who martyred September 13, 1996. A fallen comrade, you know, he was a soldier, a real revolutionary, a true rider for the people. You know, there's been many misconceptions for who Tupac was or what kind of legacy he was trying to leave before he was assassinated. You know, many people think Tupac was came as a gangster rapper. People set up his, you know, falsified his own death. You know, and from how the things are in this country, you know, it's great that we have somebody as a legend that we look up to and we like for him to stay around. But the only thing that's staying around is energy and his music. You know, and his words of wisdom that he gave. For the young black males and young black women out there, in the short amount of time that he existed, you know, as his career was from 1989, 90, to as late as 1996, and he recorded over 500 songs within that short amount of period of time. A lot of them still haven't been released yet. And also, he's starring three different movies, four different kind of movies, solo albums while he was alive and posthumously, I mean, after he died. He left a lot of collections for people to pay attention to. But first, I'm going to start off giving him a 21-gun salute to the real revolutionary comrade, a true writer, Tupac Amaru Shakur. He was born in Bronx, New York, June 16, 1971, and martyred September 13, 1996, in Las Vegas, Nevada, 7 days after the orchestrated assassination of his life on Colville and Flamingo Boulevard in Las Vegas. The people who killed Conrad, Pac, is known but isn't being released because it points back to the bloody hands of the FBI, the U.S. government, to silence black men. There's a group of books, documentaries, movies, and even college courses on Tupac's controversial life he lived and his impact on the world. Black Writers is an inspiration and was inspired by his song Ambition as a Writer to name ourselves Black Writers, a writer going to fight for a cause, even when all lives are against us. Just like Pac, we want to point out to blacks what to ride for and whom, what enemy to ride on. America's first album came out called Tupac is Now. And on his song, Words of Wisdom, he had a Words of Wisdom. His debut album, he said, America, I am what you made me. The hate and evil that you gave me. I am a shining reminder of what you've done to my people for 400 plus years. You should be running. You should be scared. You should be trying to silence me. But you cannot escape fate. Just as you rose, you shall fall by my hand. America's nightmare. The battle ain't over till the black man says. Tupac wrote that in 1990. The album was released in 1991. But he was making his debut, letting people know, I ain't coming here just to get some bullshit or just some clever metaphors. I came here to speak for the people. And that's what Tupac brings. You know, Tupac comes from a black militant background. His family can be found in the movement, starting with his black queen mama, a fiend who grew up in the hoods of New York and was a high-ranking member of a street gang in New York. In 1969, after the assassination of MLK and Lil Bobby Hutton of the Black Panther Party, she joined the Harlem chapter of the Black Panther Party started by Lumumba Shakur and his brother Zaid Shakur. She married Lumumba for respect. I'm not going to give her a government name, but she did change her government name to Afeni Shakur, taking on Shakur's last name from Lumumba. In December 1969, 21 members of the chapter, Harlem chapter, were raided early morning by pigs on conspiracy charges to blow up federal buildings, fire stands, and kill several pigs. Eugene Roberts, a black government agent as an informant of the Panther chapter, of the Panther 21 trial as an informant in 1971. He followed Lumumba and Zay Shakur, whose father was a member of Malcolm X organization of African American Unity. Breaking off from after Malcolm X assassination, his children went to go start the Harlem chapter of the Black Panther Party. Eugene Roberts followed, infiltrated, and set him up on conspiracy charges. Bail being extremely high for the Panther 21, and the party being military and politically repressed, Afeni was the only one granted bail. Due to the assault on the party, her and Lumumba split up. While raising funds to get other comrades bail, she met another Panther Party member named Billy Garland, Tupac's biological father. She became pregnant. In 1971, the pigs raided her again, pointing pistols at her head and a shotgun at her pregnant belly. She was 8 months pregnant with Tupac. In her words, the child stayed in my womb through the worst possible conditions. I had to get a court order every day to get an egg and milk to eat. Tupac was born 1 week after Afeni was released from jail, defending herself against 325 years of prison. Afeni named Tupac after a martyr Incan emperor named Tupac Amaru, which means shining serpent. Tupac was born in the thick of black militancy and political struggle, with the Fed actively monitoring their activities. The first people Tupac knew was his auntie comrade, Asada Shakur. In 1970, was convicted for allegedly smoking pig on a New Jersey turnpike. She is currently in exile in Cuba since 1981. Presently, there's a $2 million bounty on her head. 2013, she was put on the top 10, only black woman, the only woman at that, top 10 most terrorist watch list. The Tupac Shakur, Conrad Metula Shakur, was convicted of aiding her escape and also in a 1981 heist, leaving two pigs both in security yard. Dr. Metula Shakur also practiced acupuncture, which he helped rehabilitate drugs and heroin in New York, which was highly, highly fluctuated with dope at that time due to the reactionary forces of Mickey Barnes and Frank Lucas, who was flooding the streets of New York full of dope. No, not more so than the government was, but they did benefit from the genocide of our people. Dr. Metula Shakur ended up marrying Afeni Shakur in 1975. In 1976, Afeni gave birth to Sakiwa Shakur. Metula had a child already named Oprim Shakur, who Tupac became close with growing up, him and Metula. That was shortly, and that was brief. Metula is currently in prison. In 2015, he was supposed to be released, but then that was turned over quickly. Just as soon as they were letting him out, they turned him back in. Pac's godfather was also a high-ranking member of the Black Panther Party named Geronimo Pratt. And he was released in 1997, 1 year after Tupac's assassination. From 71 to 84, Tupac spent a lot of his time in New York. Tupac, from his perspective growing up, he obliges his mother for the sacrifices that she took. He says, somebody has to break out and risk losing everything. Being poor and getting beat down, somebody sacrificed. Fear eventually became defunct by 1972. Many comrades went underground, and Afeni and Baby Tupac are only holding up by the help of allies. Because of the demonization of the Panther 21, Afeni was discriminated from finding employment. She depended on her survival and help from her comrades who had the capabilities of giving her shelter, food, and other kind of moral support. A lot of her funds came from working at universities, doing lectures and speaking engagements where she would get donations and funds for to help take care of her family. Tupac was right there seeing all these assemblies, seeing all these gatherings, seeing all these meetings. Afeni was trying to raise Tupac to be a black prince of the revolution, teaching his knowledge, history, social and being politically aware, disciplining him by making him read political news. A lot of reinforcement came with Metula, but that was only for a short period of time. By 1980, the black liberation conscience was becoming to a low ebb after concessions of equal employment, immigration, welfare, and blacks in entertainment, such as black exploitation films that was taking a rise at that time. Rhyming concepts over breaking beats on turntables, it was just new. It was surfacing to the scene, hasn't yet got commercialized at that time. It was still speaking from the youth by the youth. And organized rebellious culture from the hood created from poverty. Parties and poverty without politics leads to a lot of indulgence and inoculation, drugs. Just like the blues had heroin, or Jazz had hair on. Well, this particular time frame, what was new to the scene hasn't yet hit the scene yet. Cocaine was a new drug to the blood, little black ghettos of America, which the government admitted to bringing in infiltrating to destroy the black family and the black community as we knew it then. This was before the crack generation. But right when the crack hit, that's when the after crack generation and the progression of our people started taking the steps. Afeni and her two children, back and forth between Manhattan and Harlem, Tupac kept a diary, wrote poetry, and also performed kung fu plays he got from watching TV. He took care of himself and his sister while Afeni was at work, handling responsibilities by himself. Him and Shaquille would give toys to other children, even if they know they didn't have nothing to eat, didn't know how to, where they were going to sleep. They just wanted to help the children, of course, what they were taught from their mothers. At 12, Tupac performed in the play at Apollo, raising his son for a benefit to help Jesse Jackson in 1983. Tupac was very politically involved with a lot of activities at a young age. By this time, Afeni marries a drug dealer. You know, marries a gang named a drug dealer named Legs. Legs actually used to run with Nicky Barnes. He would be the person that introduced crack to Afeni, which would put a major impact on Tupac's relationship with her and people. He'll show you the utmost loyalty, but you fuck up that, then he becomes very bitter. Tupac looks up to Legs as a father figure and for showing him gang, giving him money when he needs help, and also taking care of him as much as he can as a son. But even that wasn't enough for Tupac. You know, Tupac also looked for guidance in the streets, and that came from music, such as Big Daddy Kane, Eric B. Rakim, you know, people who actually gave knowledge and inspiration and motivation to the young male, young black youth that time. From 84 to 88, the tour moved to Baltimore. Afeni struggled with employment. If there is anything I hate, it's poverty, Tupac said. Tupac auditioned for the Baltimore School of Performing Arts. This is from the hood Tupac slept in. He slept on sheetless mats. No, comes from poverty. He had two pairs of sweaters and two pairs of pants. Being that it was a big culture difference, that he was going to a school far out of the way he was living in, there was a big culture clash between him and the people in the community because they didn't know how to relate to him seeing different plays or going to see Shakespeare and stuff like that. So because of that, Tupac didn't focus a lot of his time on poetry. He focused his time on rap to make sure he can not appear so wimpy. One of his homies was shot, accidentally shooting himself with a gun. After that, Tupac said, fuck that, there's something I gotta do. He started calling himself MC New York and rhymed about gun control. And also he performed benefits for elder Black Panther Party members. Not being able to support her children, Afeni sent her kids to Conrad Linda Pratt's house in Marin, California, wife of Jerome Pratt, incarcerated at the time. In 1987, the mutation of self-hatred was on the rise of crack keeping our early grades. You either sold rock or you either had a wicked jump shot. Tupac considered a square to the hood. He used to be jumped by the street gang and often teased them, and often teased them of his mother who used crack. So he found his place in music again, where he joined with a high school friend named Ray Love. They created a group called Strictly Dope. It didn't really take off the ground, but it's something for him to do. When Afeni came to move to Marin, she took Tupac and his sister from Linda Pratt's house and moved them to the jungle, a project in Marin City. Tupac and Afeni argued constantly. He dropped out of high school because of her problems. and moved into being homeless. He moved into a white teacher named Lane Steinberg, who helped Tupac eventually make connections for his music career. While attending a party in Milan, some neo-Nazis started a fight. He dealt with their racial hostility and formulated a new style of Black Panthers he wanted to organize. Tupac moved to Oakland around 88 to 89 to his brother Buck Prince's house. Needing money because he was homeless, young Black male, he bought an AK-47 protection and sold crack to the street. Niggas in the hood peeped he was very naive to the game, so instead of throwing his life away, they just sponsored him for his rap. Him and Mo Prince created the Thug Life Code of Conduct because they felt like thugs needed a code of ethics to act in the street. Can't be selling crack to kids, crack to paid ladies. You know, a certain time when a lot of the business took place would be at night, you know, instead of letting the children run around seeing this mess. And however, all these things were taking place, you know, Steinberg met with Atron. Atron was a role manager for NWA, and he also managed another group called Digital Underground, who was popping at the time. Tupac was hungry for work. He formed Panther Power for the DU, Digital Underground. Shortly after performing, he became their roadie, you know, working way up, lifting up crates, moving music instruments and all the other things, and eventually became a backup dancer. You know, struggling with all these things, 19-year-old young Black male Tupac, you know, worked his ass off. In 1991, he came on the same song with Digital Underground called Same Song, which ended up getting a lot of recognition, being that it was on a top-selling platinum album, Sex Package, that Digital Underground had. They tried to help manage the Conrad to have to Interscope. His debut album was released, Tupac Is Now, which featured songs like I Don't Give a Fuck, you know, saying Fuck You to the Pig, Brenda's Got a Baby, you know, speaking about the traumas and horrors that young women went through or going through as young mothers who've been molested by their uncles. You know, he had other songs like Trap, which expressed, of course, the trials and tribulations that young Black men have to go through, dealing with police terrorism on a daily. This is the voice that Tupac wanted to present to the people as his debut album. He didn't come with fast rap. He didn't come with goofy metaphors and nothing like that. He wanted to spit real. He wanted to spit the graphic images so graphic and so vivid that our people want to stop the insanity that we were going to pass on. You know, his Thug Life concept was the hate you gave little infant fucks everyone. The hate you gave little infant fucks everyone was expressing to the generation that grew up without no family, that grew up seeing their mom fucking their best friend for some dope, you know, or seeing our people evolve into more demoralized and more value self behavior. And he wanted to change that. It has been confirmed by Diane Bay Jett, one of Tupac's manager, that Tupac took on a gangster image. He took on the gangster image. A lot of people think he was just trying to turf hop or trying to claim every cent. No, he was trying to get people under Thug Life Nation. You know, as far as representing thugs who come from nothing, who had to do everything they can to try to make it. You know, who feed their family, don't want to sell dope, but they got to feed their family, though. You know, not in the gangster persona. And even though Tupac was embarking on his path to bring, you know, truth to the street, him and Mo Prince worked on creating smaller groups for Richmond, Oakland, too. You know, always looking out for the little homies. He created one group called the Have Nots and another group, Thug Nation. Eventually, that didn't work out so far, so ended up creating the Outlaws. You know, all his songs deal with pain. All my songs deal with pain. But that's what makes me me. Everything is based on pain felt in my childhood, small pieces and harsh pieces. His CD went platinum in the same year. October 1991, Pig brutalized Shakur's uncle, dumping him unconscious repeatedly in retaliation to their reactionary behavior and their assault on his life. Tupac sued the OPD, in turn winning his settlement. In 91 and 92, Tupac traveled back and forth between New York and California, east and west. 20-year-old Tupac had a movie coming out soon called Juice, which catapulted him to further acceptance from the masses. Playing a troubled young black male in 1992, he was working on his second album in L.A. Not caught up in the fame, Tupac blended in with the people wherever he was. Wherever Tupac was, that's what he was known for. He was trying to reach out to the pimp, to get gangs, see what was going on, who not stuck with. He would reach out to the drug dealer, what place he to go to. He would reach out to the gangbanger. He would do the work where everybody else wouldn't do. You know, it's one of his criticisms that he made about the older Panthers when he was growing up, and also about a lot of leaders growing up, and that they wouldn't come and deal with the black youth. He wasn't trying to, well, he said he wasn't trying to clean them up. He wanted to come, he wanted the gangsters and all the other people to come as they are, you know, and eventually that they could change their criminal mentality into a revolutionary mentality. That's what Tupac's message was really about. You know, and he was in his young 20s. And for his young 20s, that's a lot of responsibility for him to have. There was no one there to show Tupac his potential to be a leader. A lot of the elder Panthers were smoked out by this time. Huey Newton was smoked out too. You know, he got assassinated in 1989. And Tupac was very close to Huey Newton before his assassination. Tupac and Huey for that matter, wants to rebuild the Black Panther Party. Just imagine if crack never came in or he never got hooked on it. Where would we be as a people right now? But, you know, that's an afterthought. In 1992, he was working on the second album, which was called Gypsy for My Niggas. L.A. was rioting in 92, and Tupac was working in on Strictly for My Niggas, which was released in 93. This was during the time that Rodney King got brutalized in 91 by the Pigs. And in 92, while he was in L.A., that's when the riots took off. In Ray, when the information that the Pigs charges were being dropped, Tupac and a few other rappers hit through the streets. You know, Tupac came around with his block to Rodney King, saying, "This is for Rodney King." Upon seeing other black people running inside stores and grabbing some music, they grabbed a few Tupac tapes and came to Tupac and asked him, "Can you sign these?" Well, Tupac signed them, you know, to give love to the fans. They didn't care if it was being stolen, nothing like that. And it was all because of everything that happened to our people. So they rebelled. In 1993, I was going too fast. In 1992, a situation involving Tupac happened in Moran City. That involved him being confronted by a local street gang about him being a real rapper or him being a real gangster, or he being fake and this, that, and the other. You know, basically self-hatred, hating. You know, seeing somebody else become so-called famous and still denouncing their potential and still denouncing their achievements. This is something that we all been dealing with since the plantation. So we've been conditioned to deal with this. In that situation in 92, when Tupac was supposed to perform for a homecoming show, the two parties changed words. A 357 was brought out and was shot. A little boy, a 6-year-old boy, was riding his bike and getting hit with the bullet. The witnesses and the sergeant Pig implicate Mopram Shakur for shooting the gun. Later on, the charges were dropped and the case was settled with Tupac record company giving the settlement to the children's parents. that's not the last Tupac will be in the news. In 1993, another assassination attempt on his life took place after two drunk off-duty pigs in Atlanta. Atlanta is where Tupac bought his house, his first house. He was driving his limo, and he saw a black motorist named Tim Dale Hutter getting harassed by two plainclothes. He didn't know it was pigs. They didn't have no insignia saying they were pigs, nothing like that. So Tupac got out of his limo to check on the brothers. And what ended up happening, pigs start busting on Tupac first. Then once Tupac saw that he was being under attack, he drawed down, took a kneeling position, and bust at the pig's back. Shooting one of them in the ass, and the other one, I don't know where, but he got them too. They didn't die, but also the charges were dropped from that. The charges were dropped from that because the pigs were plain clothes. And it had no senior, and also that the gun they used was stolen evidence from the evidence locker room, from the PD station. They wasn't even supposed to have that gun. So put in that situation where the charges, they tried to sue Tupac too after they shot at Tupac. So, and the charges eventually being dropped. So this in turn was a victory for us, especially after he got whipped up after in Oakland, and they were trying to bring the case against him as if that was a retaliation for him shooting the pig. But they couldn't say that because the pig, like I said, didn't have no insignia, had no markers of being a pig. They were still some dirty pigs. After all these things took place, Tupac was working on a film, you know, Poetic Justice in between this time, you know, and he was working on a film with Janet Jackson. He didn't particularly like the film that much, or his or enthusiasm around it. He said he felt very unprofessional dealing with them, but only because they treated him like an animal for trying to get him a HIV test before kissing Janet Jackson or a kiss scene. No, which is ridiculous. So what ended up happening that they didn't get a do the test, but they ended up going eventually doing the thing. Neither here nor there. While on the scene in Oakland, he was again by some youth that he knew from back in the day when he used to be out in Oakland, you know, doing his thing, bumming dollars to people to get something to drink, to get something to eat, you know, being real humble. You know, people came to him and started laughing at him and mocking at him. You know, his words to that is, you know, that's animosity from poverty. And there's nothing I can do to kill that. You know, and that's a reflection as far as where he was as a person. He could have flashed off. He could have told him, fuck y'all. Y'all don't understand. Won't be wrong. Instead, you know, he took the humble approach because he came from poverty himself. And his social awareness kept him on the side of the real enemy, which is poverty, developing the white man. We're mad at Tupac, they're mad at the white man. No, because the white man robbed them to have us in poverty, just have us fight over a little bit of nothing, to have us fight off a little bit of cheese and breadcrumbs just to feed ourselves. It wasn't mad at Tupac. That's the animosity that really had to poverty. And after these situations happened, Tupac being aimed and focused on his goals, you know, in 93, Tupac ended up meeting Biggie. Biggie already had a career going on in the East Coast of New York, right, with Puffy Combs. Pub Daddy. Biggie flew out here to L.A. to find Tupac. And as soon as Tupac and Biggie met, it was like kindred souls. The first thing that Tupac and Biggie did, first thing Tupac did was smoke some bud with Biggie for the first night. No kicking and chilling with him. And then also, Tupac bought out a whole big bus sack with guns and choppers and stuff like that. And Tupac and Biggie went inside the backyard and started playing with them. Of course, not loaded, but they were just, you know, having fun. Black youth who make some money, you know, having experiences that they never had before. And this was all well before the East Coast, West Coast beef. You know, even Tupac, Biggie, and a few other comrades, the members of the Outlaws, recorded a song called Running from the Police. That's on Strictly for My Niggas album. So Tupac saw Biggie as his lieutenant, being that he saw a lot of himself in Biggie and some that he didn't see in Biggie, as far as that street climbing is, you know, his charismatic, laid back, but I'll kill you, kind of demeanor. Tupac liked that about Biggie. And Biggie liked Tupac. Biggie wanted Tupac to be his manager. But Pac, I told Biggie to stick to it. In 93, while he was working on a film Above the Rim, released in 1994, Tupac found somebody to model his character buddy out of named Haitian Jack, Jackie's Agnew. Jackie Agnew, now he was a high roller, a big time high roller out there in New York. No, he didn't sell drugs. He told a hip hop kid, that what he used to do was rob the drug dealers. He would rob other niggas, so he can benefit from them because he knows that the drug dealers are not going to call the kids. But this is who Tupac was modeling his character out of, who a lot of people feared and respected and liked because of his charm, because of his money, because of the flashy things he had. And because Tupac, this is way before Tupac got any money and stuff like that, Tupac was still broke. And by him knowing how much influence that these type of people have, he tried to develop his character after Jackie. Being that he's from that side of the country, he knows exactly what kind of personality Haitian Jack was. Biggie told Tupac not to fuck with Haitian Jack. But because Tupac, being stubborn, and also knowing how he can blend in with people, he stayed fucking with Haitian Jack. Haitian Jack helped him buy one of his, and say help him. Haitian Jack bought Tupac's first Rolex. Bought him a lot of other fashion designer clothes he wasn't used to. So, eventually what will happen is Tupac will roll up and meet Haitian Jack at a club. Haitian Jack introduces Tupac. This is when that whole case, of course, the sex scandal stuff that happened. Patient Jack ended up introducing Tupac to Ayanna Jackson, who was 19 years old. Tupac was approached by Ayanna Jackson in the club. While in the club, Ayanna Jackson gave Tupac oral sex publicly in the club. This is something that Tupac never was used to. And eventually after that, a few days later, they was kicking and chopping and going party and stuff like that. Then the time went on when Tupac left and he came back. And when he had to do a show, Haitian Jack recommended that he hook up with Ayanna Jackson. At this time, Ayanna Jackson was already blowing up Tupac's song, leaving voicemails, how much she wanted to see him, how much she missed him. So Tupac said, fuck it. All right, that's cool. Then she came over, gave him a massage. It was three other men in the vicinity where Tupac and Ayanna Jackson was at. They was in another room. While Tupac and Ayanna Jackson were being intimate, the three other men entered into the room where a lot of things started taking place, but Tupac didn't feel comfortable. So he got up and just left and went to go lay down and went to sleep. When he woke up, he heard Ayanna Jackson yelling, leaving the building, saying it was all his fault. Then next thing he know, he was being drawn down the building and said that they were going to file sexual abuse charges on him with gun charges too, and sodomy. Tupac, in a statement, he said that the only thing he regretted was that he didn't do more to stop it, you know, to find out what was going on, that he didn't do anything to help mediate the situation. You know, he just let it go. You know, young black men are caught up in the situation. There's a lot of people who've been in a situation like that. You know, I'm going to get all specific, but we all know that there has been situations where some things like that be consensual, and some things don't be consensual, where a person be at the wrong place for a time, and again locked up for sexual abuse charges, just like Emmett Till, you know, where he was assassinated. Same thing they was trying to do to Tupac. This plot, this thing with all character assassination attempts on Tupac's name, to smear him, smother him out, to defame him from his victim.